Democracy dies in darkness, opines a great American newspaper, but it would be more accurate to say that it dies by degrees. Where constitutional democracy has been lost, it has been lost because political actors have broken its rules turn by turn to achieve some immediately urgent goal. Each rule-breaking then justifies the next in a cycle of revenge that ends only in the formal or informal abrogation of the constitutional order. Constitutional democracy is founded on a commitment first and foremost to the rules of the game. The losers in any round of play agree to accept their loss because they believe they will soon have another turn. The winners accept limits on their gains because they anticipate that next time they may number among the losers. "Well, here's the way I see it," said President George H.W. Bush on the night of his election defeat in 1992. He repeated the phrase as he continued, "Here's the way we see it, and the country should see it. That the people have spoken, and we respect the majesty of the democratic system. I just called Governor Clinton over in Little Rock and offered my congratulations. He did run a strong campaign. I wish him well in the White House, and I want the country to know that our entire administration will work closely with his team to ensure the smooth transition of power. There is important work to be done, and America must always come first. So we will get behind this new president and wish him well. Now, I ask that we stand behind our new president, and regardless of our differences, all Americans share the same purpose, to make this the world's greatest nation more safe and more secure, and to guarantee every American a shot at the American dream." In the years since 1992, however, the game of politics has evolved more and more into a live-fire exercise. The end of the Cold War perhaps explains the intensifying ferocity of the competition. Since 1990, national security concerns have mattered less to American elites. The slowdown in economic growth since the year 2000 and the shock of the financial crisis and the Great Recession have embittered politics too. When there seems less to go around, people quarrel more ferociously over what remains. Ill feeling over the Supreme Court decision that elevated George W. Bush to the presidency over Al Gore has never healed. Accelerating ethnic and cultural diversity raises the stakes while aggravating mistrust and resentment between Americans. The failures and mistakes of government policy since 2001, from the 9/11 attacks through the Iraq War through the weak recovery from the Great Recession, have swung the pendulum of power more rapidly from side to side, tempting each of the two parties to grasp for more while it can, conscious that the moment of opportunity will not last long. However you weigh those causes, the record of the consequences makes grim reading. Item: the Republican congressional majorities elected in 2010 arrived in Washington believing they carried a mandate for radical cuts in government spending, and especially the early repeal of the then-new Affordable Care Act. President Obama, elected by even more votes in 2008, insisted he retained a mandate to defend the policies enacted by Democrats in 2009 and 2010. Who was right? Surely both. Yet rather than bargains and compromises, all-or-nothing politics emerged as the order of the day. In the summer of 2011, frustrated by their inability to impose their will on the president, Republicans in Congress adopted a desperate tactic. Unless Obama consented to large cuts in future spending, they would not authorize a rise in the U.S. debt ceiling. In effect, this would result in a default on the debt incurred by past spending. Debt ceiling fights had occurred often enough in sessions past. Back in 2006, then-Senator Obama had himself voted nay on a debt ceiling increase. But in those past fights, the congressional leadership had always ensured that there were sufficient votes to pass the increase before proceeding with the demagogic speeches opposing the increase. Using the debt ceiling vote as an opportunity for crass grandstanding was a venerable congressional tradition. Using it as a weapon represented something startlingly new. Republicans threatened national bankruptcy, and they reiterated that threat until an estimated 48 hours before the government of the United States lost the ability to pay its bills.